Take your Bibles and turn with me to the little book of Jude, next to the last book of the New Testament, next to the last book of the Bible, the little book of Jude. This is the fourth message in a short series of messages on just a section here in the book of Jude. Throughout the first part of the book of Jude, Jude is warning his readers about the fact that apostasy had already begun, that even as early as that first century, during the formation of the church and the bringing together of believers, Satan had already begun his attacks. Apostasy was prevalent. False teachers were prevalent. And he gives great warning here in the first part of this book about this false. Look at verse 17 of this book, little book of Jude. It says, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit." So he gives us some description here of those who would turn from the truth and some characteristics that they would maintain. In verse 20, though, he starts with two little words, "but ye." And so he's giving us some instructions now about how we're to live in those days of apostasy, in those last days. And this section here, verses 20 through 23, because verses 24 and 25 are kind of his benediction, final prayer there at the end of the book. But in verses 20 to 23, we find five distinct characteristics, five distinct building blocks, as it were, five distinct basic life principles and life factors by which we should live in these days of apostasy. And so we began looking at these five things several weeks ago. And we discovered, number one, in verse 20, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. And as we studied that principle, there's really only one way you can build up yourself on your most holy faith, and that's through the diet that God has given us in His Word. This is our food source. And certainly, we need to be those who are building up ourselves, eating and nourishing ourselves on the Word of God. It's the only food that we can eat to get strong spiritually. And then number two, in the same verse, verse 20, he says, secondly, not only build up yourselves on your most holy faith, but secondly, pray in the Holy Ghost. And certainly we know that if we're to stay strong in these days of apostasy, these strong days of leaving the principles of God, and we certainly see that prevalent in our society, in our world today, we have to pray. So we need to do two things. We need to read the Word and we need to pray. When you pray, you talk to God. When you read God's Word, God talks to you. And so we need to have communication. He's not here this morning. He's away on vacation. But I had the privilege of doing the premarital counseling for Pastor Sam and his fiancée Elise. And they're getting married in August. And I had the opportunity to do the premarital counseling for them. And one of the areas we talked about was communication. And certainly, it's important that a husband and wife learn to communicate, right? Well, it's important in spiritual things for us to learn to communicate with God. And communication is very important in our growth and in our development. And so we talk to God in prayer. God talks to us through His Word. Then we come to number three. It says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Now, that keeping yourself in the love of God is a little different to understand, but it's basically the same as make sure you're living according to God's will. Keep yourselves in a place where you can appreciate the love of God. Can you ever get anywhere where God will not love you? No, God loves us regardless. So, but we need to keep ourselves in a place where God can fully pour out the benefits of his love upon us, and that is by staying in his will. And I personally believe these five principles are given in a specific order. You will never know God's will for your life unless you're in the Word of God and unless you're praying. I think these three principles follow one another. Building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, now keep yourselves in love of God. It is wonderful that you can walk right in the center of God's will for your life. Now, once in a while, we might make some mistakes, right? But God in his love and his mercy will bring us back to that place if we're willing to be right in the center of his will. God cannot fully bless you if you are out of his will. And then number four, we looked at a couple weeks ago, in verse 21, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And again, this is the consummation of our salvation, the climax of our salvation, the blessed hope of the church, the imminent return of Jesus Christ to rapture the church to be with himself. Several of us from the congregation, of course, just returned from our trip to Israel on Thursday. We stood on the Mount of Olives from which Christ went into heaven, and the promise being that this same Jesus, which you've seen go into heaven, shall so come in like manner. We believe that one day he will return right there to the Mount of Olives. Our guide, who was a Messianic Jew, and let me make sure you understand that, this was a Jew who has Jesus Christ as his Savior. He's a Messianic Jew. He believes in Jesus Christ as the Messiah. He was a tremendous blessing to be with us because he was a good preacher, too. He was not just a guide. He was a good preacher. But his name was Daniel. And Daniel, when talking about the city of Jerusalem, he kept reminding us, this is a city with a past, a present, and this is a city with a future, because Jesus is going to come back there and rule and reign one day. And so we believe that we should keep looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life when he returns. Now, we looked as we studied that. Those of us who know Christ as our Savior, we have eternal life now. We're not hoping to get it someday, but there are some aspects of our eternal life that we still aren't the full recipients of. I do not have my glorified body yet. I still have this body that gets tired and overheated and has sinus problems and all kinds of things. But anyway, one day we're going to have our glorified bodies. There's certain aspects of our salvation that are still going to take place. And so that's why this verse says, unto eternal life, there's certain aspects of our salvation that are yet future. But now we come, that's all review. Now we come to the fifth and final one of these five building blocks, these five principles. And it actually is given to us in both verses 22 and 23. And it says, and of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. This fifth principle is the principle of soul winning. The principle of soul winning. Here we are reminded that one way we live during these days of apostasy and these days of leaving of the faith and these days of rejection of God and the terrible things that we see in our society and around the world today, you know what we ought to be busy doing? Witnessing. Telling others about Christ. This verse has very, very, or these two verses have some wonderful, wonderful principles for us in the area of soul winning. Getting folks saved. Notice again the order here. Now, I'm not opposed to people witnessing whenever they are born again. One of the first places we witness is when we get baptized. We give testimony publicly that we are children of God. I'm not opposed to witnessing at any time. But notice here, I think that, have you ever been in a race, and the race often starts with words like, get ready, get set, what? Go. All right, you all know what I'm talking about, right? So get ready, get set, go. And, well, you know, when it comes to soul winning, there's certain principles that mean that we need to get ready, and we get set. You know, we need to at least know a few things when it comes to soul winning. And, but you know, anybody who knows four or five verses of Scripture can be a soul winner. You don't have to know and the entire Word of God. But I think it's most effective when, number one, we are building up ourselves on our most holy faith when we're familiar with the Word of God, when we are prayed up, and when we are in the center of God's will, and when we are keeping ourselves pure, because one who has hope that Christ is going to return, the Bible says he will keep himself pure even as he is pure, then we have the most effective position in which we can be good soul winners. And I think that's why it's listed here in this order. Now we have to do some soul winning. And you know where soul winning starts? Well, here it says, of some have compassion. Compassion. You know where soul winning starts? By having compassion. And before I finish looking at that word compassion, but I want you to notice a couple of key words in here. It says, verse 20, of some, and verse 23, of others. What does that demonstrate to us? Well, there are different needs by different people. Nobody's, how many of you have ever taken a soul winning class where they teach you principles of soul winning? Anybody ever take a soul winning class? You know, and there's good ways to do it, but let me tell you this, no two situations are ever identical. This morning, I will be able to reach some people that you will never reach, but you'll all be able to reach some people that I will never reach. And there are some people who will be won to the Lord through one approach. There are others who will not be won to the Lord through that approach. You have to use a different approach with them. And this verse tells us that people are different. There are some, and there are others. And you know what? We need to be sensitive to the Spirit of God to know how to approach different people with the truth of God's Word. We're living in a unique day. I have been a pastor for 40 plus years now. And I'll be honest with you, years ago it was much easier to go door to door and knock on doors. Today, people don't want you to knock on their door. We live in a total different society. But we've got to look for opportunities to witness and look for opportunities to share God's Word, even if it's a different methodology or a different way than what we were used to. And so this verse reminds us that you just can't use the same approach for every person. There are different types of people, and there are different types of approaches. And you will have an in with certain people, but you'll have an out with other people. One of the things we challenged our group to do this time when we went to Israel, I had ordered 200 tracts and pass-out tracts, and and give tracts to people along the way. I don't know if anybody got saved, but maybe somebody did, or maybe somebody will, as a result of these tracts that we passed out in Hebrew. And I remember one particular situation where we were with three Israeli military. They all happened to be females, and it's fun because they love Americans. We were getting our pictures taken with them. And then as we finished, Kara Cashman had a track right there, and she handed it to me and said, "Here's a track." And so I handed it to them, and as we walked away, we saw them looking through the track and even taking pictures of it with their cell phone. So I don't know what they were taking pictures of her cell phone. Maybe they're going to arrest us or something. I don't know. But anyway, we use whatever methods we can. Tracts are a wonderful way to get God's word out today. I have been told, and I don't know how to verify this. I can't verify it, I don't think. But I've been told that every tract eventually has 7 different readers. Now, I don't know how to verify that. I've just been told that. 7 people. And one time we were in San Francisco back during the movement of the hippies, way back in the 70s. And we were on Ashbury Haight Street in San Francisco. And I was passing out tracts. We were there with a choir. Do you know that not one of those hippies threw that track down? Not one. We passed them and they would take them and they wouldn't throw them down on the ground. And when we were in for the Olympics in 2000 in Australia, our group passed out over 500,000 pieces of curd. Is active today. We need to use it. And so there are different approaches. There are personal soul winning. That's like taking a fishing pole and dropping a hook and your fish personal pole. But then there is kind of more public soul winning where you cast a net. We need to be effective in personal and public soul winning. But some will respond in ways that others will not. And so you cannot stereotype all of our witnessing efforts. But you know what we have to have? Regardless of how many verses we know, regardless of how many opportunities, you know what we have to have? This verse tells us. Compassion. Compassion. Someone once said they will never know how much God cares until they know how much you care. You have to have compassion. But you know how you can have passion? It's because it flows out of compassion. This Greek word, compassion here, is found 31 times in the New Testament. And three times it's translated compassion. One time it's translated pity. Do you know what it's translated the other 28 times or 27 times? Mercy. Mercy. The word compassion here means that we need to have mercy. Now, mercy is just not a natural attribute for mankind. You know where we get mercy? From God, and then he asks us to give mercy to others. Psalm 103:8 says that the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Unfortunately, with our old natures, we are not very merciful most of the time. We are usually pretty cruel. And we were talking with our guide in Israel, and you know, we call this the Holy Land. Things are absolutely no different in Israel than they are here. Unfortunately, we talked to him about abortion, and we talked to him about the gay rights movement, and we talked to him about several things, and it's just the same in Israel. You know why? Because people are people with needs, and people have sinful hearts. And mercy is not, it did not originate with God, or excuse me, with man. It originated with God. And have you ever heard the phrase, when in a court setting, and you have someone who's been subpoenaed, and they're on the witness stand, and the judge and or the lawyer says, this is a hostile witness. You ever heard that term, hostile witness? What is a hostile witness? It's somebody who's being forced to witness, but they don't want to witness. Well, unfortunately, that's true in many of our lives, isn't it? Sometimes we are hostile witnesses. We aren't witnessing because we are full of compassion. We're witnessing because we feel like it's our duty, or we're mandated to do so, or we have to do so. But a key word here is the fact that we do it because we want to. We love people. We care. We have compassion. And certainly, most of the time, we don't really want to become involved. Unfortunately, we don't care like we ought to. Unfortunately, we don't have the concern that we ought to. Hebrews 4:15 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. You know what? You obtain salvation when you receive Christ. You also obtain mercy when you go before the throne of God, and he gives you the mercy that you need to be a proper witness. And sometimes you may be the only Christian that a person knows. You may be the only one from whom they will ever hear the gospel. And so we have to be those that have become Christians. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And we have to become those who have obtained mercy, but we also have to become fishers of men. Mark 1:17 reminds us, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Maybe during this next week, I will have opportunity to win a boy or girl to camp as I go to speak at camp. Prayerfully, as we have VBS coming up, we will see several boys and girls coming to Christ in VBS. Let's pray to that end. Maybe some of you will have the opportunity to lead them to Christ this week because you have compassion. You are showing them mercy. I believe I've used this illustration before, but back in my seminary days, Mrs. Walter and myself and one other couple, John and Cheryl Vector, the four of us had all been from Maranatha Baptist Bible College. We knew each other before we went to seminary, and now we are at Tennessee Temple, and we were serving at the same church. And it was a large church. They had a huge bus ministry. And so we were in charge of a children's church ministry. Every Sunday we had over 100 first and second grade boys and girls, just first and second grade, four of us with 100 kids. One time after we gave the gospel, a little girl responded and came, and she was counseled and she received Christ as her Savior. The next week we gave the gospel again. She responded again and came, and we thought, well, maybe she didn't understand something, so we dealt with her carefully and made sure she understood. The third week, we were getting a little concerned because she came again. You know why? She came from a broken home where nobody loved her. And every week, we were telling her that God loved her and that Jesus loved her and that we loved her. You know what she came for every week? That special one-on-one time when somebody would tell them that they loved her. You know what we need to do? We need to love people today. We need to have compassion. We need to show mercy This verse reminds us, if we're going to make a difference, verse 22, and of some have compassion, making it, if we're going to make a difference, it begins with us having a different approach, a different strategy, but always compelled by love and compassion for the lost. How many of you like to fish? Anybody like to fish here? My wife likes to catch, but she doesn't like to fish. Fishing doesn't mean you're always catching, right? I read a story of a lady who wanted to take her grandson fishing, and so she got him a pole, and they went out and sat on a pier and sat there for hours, and he had his line in the water, didn't catch any fish. Then she brought it in, and there was another fisherman nearby and said, well, you don't even have a hook on your line. You don't have any bait on your line. How did you ever? She says, well, I didn't expect to catch anything. I just was fishing. You know, when we fish and we expect to catch things, you know, you fish in different types of water, streams and rivers and lakes and ponds and ocean, and usually you're going after different kind of fish. Well, you need different bait. You need different kinds of tackle. You need sometimes bigger poles and smaller poles. We have different equipment, but we're all trying to catch fish. And it's that way in soul winning. Sometimes we have a different approach and we might do this or that, but we're all trying to catch fish. And notice these verses. Well, let me give you a phrase here again. Verse 23 says, and others save with fear. Now, wait a minute, Pastor. Only God can save. Pastor, only Jesus can save. How come it says others save with fear? Well, the truth is, God uses instruments today. And we're those instruments. And so because he wants to use us, listen to some things that Paul and others said. It says in Romans 11:13, it says, for I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify mine office, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. Paul said that I might save some of them. Speaking about a spouse, it says, what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband, or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? We understand that we're not the ones that do the savings, but we're the instrument used of God to bring another person to salvation. And God is omnipotent. But God uses you and I as his instruments. He saves others via us. We are his hands. We are his tongue. We are his feet. Paul said, to the weak, I became as weak that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:33, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. We need that kind of compassion. We need that kind of pity. We need that kind of mercy that Paul had for his people. And then it says here, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. You know, that word fire is used once before in this book. It's used back in verse 7 of Jude. It says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. And so we need to be those that God can use to pluck them out of the fire, that we can pull them out of the fire. And then the last phrase here is a phrase in this verse says, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. In one of my ministries, I was able to lead a homosexual to the Lord. And it was because we showed compassion on this young man, and this young man saw that we really loved him. Now, did I like his sin? No, I hated his sin. I hate the sin of homosexuality. But I don't hate the sinner. And this verse says, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh, but don't hate the sinner. Hate the sin. We that know Christ are to build up ourselves on our most holy faith. We are to pray in the Holy Ghost. We are to keep ourselves in the love and in the center of God's will. We are to look for the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And we are to be witnesses, having compassion, making a difference, saving others with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. May God help us to be those instruments that can bring others to Christ. And again, this morning, as I prepared this message, God spoke to my heart and reminded me of my responsibilities of winning others to Christ. May He do so in all of our lives. Let's pray.